Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Know-How is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
After today's project, you'll be able to unleash your router.
Watch us to know how to update your router's firmware. Wow, that's us.
That's us, yeah.
Hiya, Zach Tarleo Laporte. Know How, the show where we actually show you, we get our hands dirty, how to do stuff. What are we doing today, Hiya?
Today, we are going to put on some new firmware on this Cisco router. We have a couple of them because Cisco did something kind of silly. It was in the news recently, Leo. I think you got a little upset about this.
I was really upset about it, and you've probably seen some news about it. It happened at the end of June and through July. So if you had a high-end Cisco Linksys router, an EA 2700, 3500, or 4500, by default, those routers come with auto update turned on. That means Cisco can push an update to your router without your permission. So most people, end of June, early July, got pushed a new firmware that turned on a service that Cisco calls Cisco Cloud Connect. And what it meant was, instead of managing your router as you normally do through the browser, you had to sign up for an account on Cloud Connect and use Cloud Connect to manage your router settings. And there were some really weird terms of services in there. For instance, Cisco said, well, we have the right to inspect your internet history. Mm-hmm. You may not use your router for pornography.
And what Cisco was really doing with their Cloud Connect software was they wanted to make sure that if anybody was doing anything using their routers, they were protected legally.
You're a lawyer. You understand.
I totally get it.
This is kind of boilerplate junk.
But it freaked people out because they're like, I didn't opt into this, even though they might have actually opted into it because they clicked a little button, didn't read anything. But the main point is, you know what? We don't want this kind of stuff happening to our routers. And while I might have the know-how, we have somebody here who knows why all of this stuff works and how it works.
Before you go on, I just want to say, Cisco said, oops, it was a mistake, and they backtracked out of it. My point is, you should control your router firmware, nobody else. And so we're going to show you how to do that
yourself. That's exactly right. Let's bring in Russell Tammany.
Russell Tammany is here. Hey, Russell, good to see you.
Hey, how's it going?
Russell is really the king of IT around here. He's a consulting IT professional. His company's Exponentia.net. And really smart about this stuff. And we were actually saying, hey, do we have any routers lying around that we could we could burn new firmware onto? And Russell, you said, oh, yeah, there's like 100 in the basement.
Absolutely, yeah.
How come? Is that what you do?
Well, yeah, we brought these to NAB and CES, so this is kind of our extra loaner routers and just other routers that were around here.
And why don't you like the stock firmware on routers?
Well, you know, the stock firmware can be good, but it's limited. So, you know, you don't have certain features of it. You know, the manufacturers kind of decide a price point based on, you know, what router you buy. And, you know, a lot of them have the same chips in them, but they'll limit them. So,
in other words,
sort of lets you unlock it.
This is cheaper because it has crappier firmware.
Exactly.
Now, if somebody doesn't know what firmware is, Russell, could you explain what that is? Because it's just, I mean, it's a mini computer, right?
Exactly. So, I mean, the firmware is basically the software that runs on the router.
There's a processor on here.
There's a processor. Memory. It's actually very similar to, like, what a smartphone would have.
Right.
They're usually ARM-based as well. So, the software and firmware get loaded on the router and tell it what it has, what it can do, as well as drivers for the actual radio firmware.
So when I'm controlling the router from my browser using, you know, 192.168.1.1 or whatever the local address is, I'm actually logging into the operating system and changing settings.
It essentially has a web server,
right,
and you're going to that web server and changing the settings.
And there are a lot of different firmware options out there with this OpenWRT, DDWRT, Tomato. And what we have here, you need to know this as well. You need to know what model you have because not every firmware is going to work on every router.
Let me ask you, where does this firmware come from? Who is OpenWRT, DDWRT? Who are these people?
Yeah, they're just sort of groups of open source enthusiasts that get together and work on these products, and they release.
So it's not from Cisco.
It's not from manufacturers. No, it's not approved. It may actually void your warranty.
Okay.
So you know that's one thing to be aware of if you just bought it.
Last week we were jailbreaking our iPhones by putting new firmware on it. It's very similar to that.
Exactly. It's just that the manufacturer doesn't want people doing it and then messing it up and sending it back to them.
Hey, I bricked my router. It's your fault. I want a new router.
Yeah, I highly suggest that if you're going to do this project, make sure you're using a spare router. Don't be doing this with your main one.
Yes.
because bricking routers is pretty simple to do. If you have one power surge or outage at the same time while you're upgrading this, you will brick it. And the way to fix it is hardware-based, taking apart the actual router, trying to find some leads on the motherboard, and hope.
Yeah, they're called JTAG leads, or sometimes there's a way to use serial ports to flash them. But if you don't want to take apart your router and, you know, basically attach leads to it, you know, you really... You know, I will brick these and just throw them out.
Because, so these are EEPROMs, you know, electrically erasable, programmable, read-only memory. Is that what's in there?
No, it's flash memory.
Oh, it's flash.
It's regular flash memory.
Interesting.
There's an NVRAM chip, which is where the config gets stored, and that's sort of more like an EEPROM, but the memory in there is just regular flash. But
that's not a big deal. So when you short it, you're basically clearing the RAM.
Right, but there's no bootloader in these, right?
Right.
So, you know, enterprise routers, Cisco routers, things like that have a special boot ROM.
Right.
You can boot up and then recover the router.
Right. Can't do that.
We have the Linksys E3200, and now what I'm going to do is figure out what firmware to get. And the thing is...
That's important. You got to have the right firmware for the model you're going to be doing.
And each of these sites where there's dd-wrt.com, you can do a quick search. We show my screen. You can find the router, and you'll find information as to what firmware you can get for what device. In our case, there is an OpenWRT version available, but it's alpha. I don't know if I want to put that on here. The dd-wrt version is very stable, so I'm going to go ahead with that.
You know, what's interesting about the name dd-wrt comes from a Linksys model, the WRT54GL, which everybody loved. It was the easiest one to write firmware for.
Yeah, the WRT series, like the 54G and the WRT11s, were kind of the initial ones that all of these firmwares were written for.
But now they work on, is it like a huge range of routers? I mean, is there a good chance that my router will be on this list?
There are hundreds of supported devices when it comes to DDWRT, and that's why there's a wiki. That's where all the instructions are. We can't show you every single router that you can do this to. That's why we're picking this one model. And the thing is, this is a Linksys, and Cisco kind of makes them, and they kind of messed up certain things. Those newest routers that had that Cloud Connect software, the auto-update one, I don't believe there's firmware for that just yet.
Because they're brand new.
Right. So
just like any open source project, it takes a while for the open source community to get around, and they have to all have copies, and eventually they'll
If you go to DD...
Does Linksys actively discourage this, or do they try to prevent it?
I don't think they try to prevent it. If they really wanted to try to prevent
they would
lock it similar to what they do with the Android bootloaders. So, you know, they're not implementing that yet, but you
forget
know,
that I said anything
bad. We don't want to give them any ideas. We like buying cheap routers and making them nice.
They also want you to be able to upgrade to the latest firmware that Linksys gives you if you want to download that and manually install it. So we go to the wiki page for DDWRT, find our model, and we have the Linksys E3200 again.
That's this one here.
And you'll see you can actually see the image of it. You go, yeah, that's my router.
This is like a, $30, $40 router? It's not very expensive.
It's not very expensive. Okay. It was a dual band router, and I believe it was about $75. But now it's the old model. So
and this is Wi-Fi. This is not just a static router. This is a Wi-Fi.
It's Wi-Fi and Ethernet.
But you could do this on any router. It doesn't have to be a Wi-Fi router. Okay.
Now you'll see the flashing instructions on the website, and it's in big bold letters, and it says, "Don't brick your router." This is usually when people freak out. They go, "I don't want a brick. I want a router." Don't worry. Just slowly read everything. Things are fine. It's a 10-step process, and I got to say, I've done this before. It actually is way easier than I remembered from years ago.
You told me it was hard to brick it. You tried to brick something.
I tried to brick some other stuff back here. I've done this a couple of times.
You couldn't brick them.
I tried to brick this one.
But you had to go to extremes. You had to take the wrong ROM. Mm-hmm. And even then, you couldn't brick it.
Unless you have a power surge or something.
So I don't want to scare people. I know you're a lawyer, and you're protecting us. You want to tell people you could brick your router. But it isn't that scary, that hard to do. Have you ever bricked a router in the process?
I have bricked a router in the process. Oh. But, you know, that's maybe 1 in 100.
Right.
So,
usually it's because the power fails.
It's usually because you didn't read the instructions properly.
Yes, definitely read.
You know, it's because I downloaded the wrong thing and tried it just made an assumption.
Got it. It's the same, it's the same as updating your BIOS on a motherboard, jailbreaking an iPhone. It's the same exact
thing. You want to double check those model numbers. Yeah. You want to, make sure that your download completed.
And none of these guys are, the DDWRT stuff isn't checking for you. That's why you have to read the instructions.
Right.
It's not going to necessarily say, oh, don't install it now.
Right. Well, that's what the wiki's for. So, you know, they put that stuff on the wiki, and, you really want to find out, if I flash this, what am I going to lose? So
read it twice.
It before starting it.
For example, this E3200, you actually lose the 5 gigahertz radio with the first version of the DDWRT firmware.
So that reminds me a little bit of Android ROMs, where sometimes in the early versions of the ROM, it may not support all the features.
It may not have Bluetooth or the, or the second radio. So.
While you guys are talking about all the theoretical stuff, I'm actually going to do something to this router.
Will you do it?
Just sitting there.
Let's do it.
We got our instructions. They're written out.
They're right here on this page. Ten steps.
Should
I read the steps to you to make sure you're following them
correctly? You could do that.
Read the Peacock announcement carefully.
Now that's
did you do that?
I did read that. It's a terrifying document.
That's the warning.
Oh yes, it's like it's many, many pages of information you need to know. It'll explain everything.
Disconnect all cables and wireless clients.
So this is not connected.
So make sure if it's a Wi-Fi router, nobody's logged in. Mm-hmm. The one cable you don't disconnect is power.
Right, you're gonna need that.
And hold on. First, just before you do this,
the expert tip.
What you're gonna want to do is log into your router, how you have it set up, and write everything down.
Save your configuration.
Save your configuration. Now, the configuration file is not restorable. So if
you're going to blank it.
So you're going to want to make sure you get the SSID, your password, your settings.
See, this is
everything
where
that's
you get the guy who's done 100 of them. Because the first 20, he forgot to do that.
And then you're trying to figure out what it was.
So write down your login, write down your configuration. Now disconnect all cables.
This is the,
now you're doing a 30-30-30 reset.
This is like a little bit of voodoo of resetting this. It's different from a hard reset.
And it's different on every router, by
the way.
Correct. Every manufacturer has a different
reset. So I'm going to show you this on this router. There's a little reset port. I have a piece of a binder clip. You hold this down for 30 seconds, which I have to count to myself. And then after that, you're going to disconnect the power and hold this down for another 30 seconds. Then reconnect the power for another 30 seconds. And that's going to allow you to do some serious work to this.
Now, why do we want to reset the router? Is it necessary to do that?
It's the same reason why you need to save your configuration. Because the configuration that's in the NVRAM is written for your stock firmware. So it's for the Linksys or for the Netgear, for the Buffalo. And when you replace that firmware with the DDWRT firmware, it's going to boot and try to look in the NVRAM for your configuration.
So you are resetting a part of the router that isn't overwritten when you write the new firmware.
Correct.
You have to make sure that's back to its stock state.
It's the safest to do that. That's one of the ways that I have bricked a router before, is by not resetting it first.
So the NVRAM is kind of non-volatile. It's preserved across this. All right.
Now,
so we're clearing that
and
now.
And this 30-30-30 reset can also be helpful if you forgot to clear it, put the DDWRT on it, and then got stuck. So
you might go back and do that.
So if you didn't do it and you think it's bricked, it's always good to try that.
Okay. We've waited. This took 90 seconds.
This is going to take 90 seconds total. I've got another 10 seconds to go.
Nine,
is everybody
eight,
counting
are you
for
timing
you?
This? Seven, six, five. 4, 3, 2.
Okay, everybody praying to God. Okay,
do
good.
Not be in a hurry when you do this,
no.
by the way. This is being methodical, careful, following the steps that keep you from bricking it.
Follow directions. And if you think you know better than the instructions, you probably don't. If you do know better, edit them and change them.
Then you're Russell Tammany.
That's one of the big things.
Then you brick it.
Years ago, the documentation wasn't as good as this.
Right.
I think years ago, it was kind of disparate. It was on forums.
You'd have to look on a forum through 50 posts.
This is a lot better than ever.
It's gotten a lot cleaner, a lot easier. Right now, I have to reconnect a LAN cable to the router.
So you're going to connect a cable to your laptop and to your router. That LAN cable is how you're going to get the firmware onto the router.
Right.
Okay.
So I'm going to go to 192.168.1.1.
You don't do this wirelessly. You got to do it hardwired.
And if you see my screen right now, you can say, welcome to the Linksys E3200. Now, I don't want to install Cisco Connect because that's exactly what we don't want.
This is what we're trying
to avoid. Continue with an open and unsecured network. Let's say, I understand my network is open. I'm going to click hit continue.
Boy, they really do want you to put the Cloud Connect on there.
It says, hey, listen, you guys are not using Cisco Connect. So, okay, here we go. Now we're finally into the interface.
So this is what you're used to. This is the traditional Cisco interface for setting up the router.
Okay.
But here we're going to go to that update your firmware page.
Right. That's in the administration tab. And then we've already downloaded. The next step says log into the web interface and flash firmware E3200 trailed initial flash build. This is a piece of firmware that's going to allow you to put DDWRT on the router.
Okay, slow down. So this is not the firmware.
This is the firmware, but it is a special build of the firmware that's intended for flashing using Linksys's web interface.
Okay, and that's not what we want, or it is what we want?
It will include a version of DDWRT that we want, but it may be an older version.
So you downloaded this from the DDWRT
site. That's correct.
And what you're telling is the router is, hey, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, we're going to update your firmware with something it thinks is a Linksys product. but isn't.
Yeah, right, so the newer versions of DDWRT may not directly flash to the router.
All right, so now I have lots of software, so I got to make sure I put the right things on there.
This is a loader that may have to be installed first.
And it includes a version of DDWRT.
It's in there. Okay.
But so to do newer versions, you'll need to download
it. So I've gone through the web interface. I went to upgrade to admin, to a firmware upgrade, and then hit choose file.
So you're finding the file.
Found the file. There it is. Make sure it's clearly labeled. Don't mix these things up.
This might be a good time to check the name of that file with the name of the file
and
you expect to be installing.
I also want to double check that it's not a zip file and that it is extracted and is a .bin file.
We have done that. We have installed zip files into firmware.
It's not uncommon.
So right now, it's upgrading right now. So it says upgrade must not be interrupted. So again, you're going to have the urge to disconnect things, kick over power supplies, move with your swivel chair. Don't do that right now as much as you want to.
We should point out this is operating system independent at this point because you're not using the Windows or Mac or Linux machine. You're actually running a browser that is
using
the software.
Yeah, so unlike Android where the instructions are different, it's the same.
This is very easy across all platforms.
No, the system reboot is in progress. It may take
Let's see his screen. We want to watch what's going on here. Okay.
Going to hit continue.
So it copied. That was fast. It copied everything over. It's not very big.
No, the file is only about 4 to 8 megs, so it's very small.
Now, the instructions say we have to wait 10 minutes until WLAN turns on, and the weird thing is, in my experience, I have not seen it take 10 minutes. It actually restarts in like 3.
This is the boot time, though, right? It's actually, is it doing anything besides boot?
It may be the initial flash, so once it's copied, it then reboots and then does a flash.
So it might be doing some stuff.
May also be important.
That's why it could take, probably depends on the machine, but it could take as long as 10 minutes.
It's just that thing to make sure, it's probably not going to take that. It's just to make sure that nobody unplugs theirs while it may still be doing
wait longer than it could possibly ever take in a million years.
Because you have that one chance.
And it's already set up. So go to my screen.
You see it blinking? What? That's it?
I refreshed 192.168.1.1, and right now, this is obviously a different interface. You can see on the top left,
now, it does say that you should power cycle for 30 seconds. You should wait 5 minutes until it finishes booting. You should do a 30 reset.
Yeah.
We didn't do any of that.
You should finish that.
Well, you should reset it again after DDWRT has gone in.
Just to be safe.
So that DDWRT can put its initial config in. I usually skip that step, but to be safe.
But Russell knows everything.
We're doing the Russell method. Don't do it at home. Don't try this at home, kids.
Well, now that we have this software on there, the firmware.
That's amazing.
What are we going to do with it? Now, we already asked.
I just want to underscore this. We're done. We actually put new firmware on here. Now we have to configure it. I understand.
We got stuff to do.
But the job is done. The thing that we came here to show you to do is done. That's how easy it is.
That's really simple. Again, though, you can break it if you make a mistake.
Stop saying that. You're scaring the people at home.
Hey, that's what scared me. So I got to make sure that people know to be scared slightly, tiny bit, fearful.
So we skipped a few steps, followed all 10 steps.
Right.
Now, and this is where we're really glad to have Russell here.
Mm-hmm.
It's time to configure this router. And Russell's going to tell us some of the things that he does to tweak routers.
We asked the audience before, what are you guys going to do with your new firmware?
Yeah.
Love to see your reaction. What were you guys going to do with it? So we have a tweet from Adam Tech. He goes, the first thing I do is increase the wireless broadcast power.
You can do that?
Now,
yes,
in the router,
absolutely.
Not normally the thing you can do.
Right. So normally you're going to get whatever the manufacturer decides is the transmit power for that router.
And it's usually like a tenth of a watt. It's not very much.
It's usually
pretty
low. It's usually somewhere between 50 and 100 milliwatts, depending
on
the router. Now, they have engineered it so that they've picked an appropriate power setting for the antenna that's actually in the product.
So you could burn it out.
So they're not exactly cheating you. It's just that they designed the product and they chose the power for certain reasons.
Right.
So you can turn up the power, but I would not suggest turning up the power more than 25%, 30% from the stock power.
Here's another suggestion from the Twitter room. I like this, and Russell will not like this. Do you have it there, Colin? Set up the PPTP VPN server so I can access Spotify and Box on my work Wi-Fi.
Now, DDWRT comes with a version of OpenVPN that allows you to use PPTP.
Correct.
What did all of that just mean?
Essentially, that gives you software that you can create a VPN tunnel. So you're linking your computer that you're on with your home network like it's actually plugged in.
It's getting around the IT restrictions.
It may not be the restrictions, but there's not many good ways of accessing services like that directly. So you can do a VPN, and then now the IT guys can't actually see exactly what you're doing.
He's tunneling to his home server.
They know that you're making a VPN, and they know where you're making the VPN.
They don't know
what's going over it.
You can also make your router do a lot more. I think somebody else had a suggestion as to making it a wireless repeater.
Right. So the,
now that's interesting because you can buy, I could buy a Linksys repeater, right?
Correct. And usually what you'll find is that they charge more for those. So one of the things, the reason that I use these in a lot of kind of nonprofit and smaller businesses is because they can be configured to do a WDS bridge, which is actually more than just a repeater. What a WDS bridge allows you to do is connect a second unit. It can be anything that runs DDWRT, and it can be a wireless repeater off of your main unit. So both units need to have DDWRT, and both units need to be configured for this WDS bridge. And then that lets you put another router in another room.
That's great.
And it works as both a wireless repeater and as the wired ports in the router get connected to that wireless network as well.
So there's a lot more you can do with this.
It's to extend your network.
It extends both your wireless and your wired network wirelessly. And it allows you to create mesh networks with multiple units.
That is really cool. And because these are so cheap and plentiful, this is a really inexpensive way to extend
the wireless. Yes, I have some nonprofit sites where we have 10 of these covering their entire campus. And we just, you know, some of them where we can have them wired in, we have them wired in. And where we can't wire them in, we'll put one off of a bridge. You know, and then that lets us repeat that signal over a whole area.
Dr. Dredd in our chat room says a good thing, a thing that all ham operators know. Yes, you could turn up your transmit power, but don't be a jackass and turn it up higher than you need. Just turn it up enough so that it does what it has to do.
Yeah, if you do turn it up higher than you need, you're actually creating more noise.
And then your neighbors are not going to like that.
The other thing is that, remember, when you turn up the transmit power, you're not turning up the sensitivity on receiving. So when you take your iPad or your laptop and you take it, you know, further away than you could before with higher power, that device may not be able to talk back.
Yeah, so basically you have the router spitting out tons of signal.
Exactly.
Some of it's noisier than normal, and your device is like, yeah, I can see the router.
I have three bars, but nothing's working.
But the router still doesn't have anything that says I can grab this data back. So that was one of the things I was like, well, that seems a little strange.
So you don't want to go too high. You know, some routers have a replaceable Ethernet or antenna jack, so you can put a directional antenna or a larger antenna, and that will make a larger antenna will make your receive better. And same with the directional. So
this is definitely. I mean, there's so many different things
what
you can do
can
with that.
What else can we do? This is so much.
Oh,
fun.
We need a whole follow up episode for what you can do with this.
Are we out of time?
Many,
is
so
that when what you're
that's
saying?
What I'm
well,
getting at.
No,
when,
we're
so
not
when
out of
you
time.
Go,
I say extend the show.
I'm sorry, that's not going to happen. We're going to do though.
You got it set up.
I know you guys have lots of ideas, and I know we need. This is like a 101 course.
So part two.
We need a 201.
Okay.
We need to really get into this.
Can we get you to come back and show?
We have this. We could set up. We could take our Wi-Fi and just keep chaining them together. Yeah, anywhere.
So, yeah,
I'll tell you, before
I'm
we go,
week,
though,
but I
there are certain like things that anybody with a Wi-Fi router absolutely has to do.
Right.
Would you just give us those basic things?
Right.
So we don't want anybody going out in the
true.
World.
This is open right now, too.
So the basic thing is, when DDWRT flashes, too, it's going to leave you open. It'll have an SSID of DD-WRT, and you don't want to leave it in that configuration. So if you got to this point, now you need to go back to what you wrote down from your previous router and go into the DDWRT and set up an equivalent configuration.
Turn on the WPA2.
So you want to turn on WPA2. Now, if you name it the same thing as your previous wireless and you use the exact same mode like WPA2 and security type like AES or TKIP,
we
recommend AES and WPA2,
yep.
Personal. And then
DDWRT supports that, which is nice.
It does. It also supports enterprise with radius servers, which is a whole other more advanced topic.
Most people don't.
Most
have
people
those,
won't
so
do that, so don't turn that on.
Yeah.
And then if you configure the same settings as your previous router, you won't have to go to all of your other devices and fix it.
That's nice.
So you know,
same
write
SSID.
It down first, same SSID.
You should also change the administration password.
Yeah,
obviously,
they're all case sensitive, so make sure
what
when
is
you're.
The, what is the default password on DDWRT?
It's root and admin.
Root
and admin. So everybody knows that.
Right.
So change that
immediately. It's actually the first thing you get says change that.
Turn off WAN administration unless you know that you need that.
Right.
It doesn't matter to turn off, change SSID or hide SSID.
No, the hiding SSID and the MAC filtering
doesn't
are
do anything. MAC
pretty
address
worthless.
Filtering does nothing.
They just annoy certain people. Yeah. That's about it. And low level.
So that's good. So now it's secured. If you had it secured before, it'll be secured exactly as it was before.
Correct.
Okay. Good.
Yeah, but we definitely need to do a follow up. There's lots, and I know you guys are gonna have lots of ideas.
Well, there's
and
lots
emails.
Of tweaks in here. Right?
Oh yeah, there's so many things you do, and there's so many different routers and so many different firmwares you could try out. If you got an idea, you can just send us an email at knowhow@twit.tv. That's knowhow@twit.tv. Or you can leave us a voicemail, keep them short, and keep them intelligent. We love intelligent voicemails. Haven't seen a lot of those.
Have we gotten any yet?
Colin? I'm seeing a head shake.
Nope.
They were just too long. They were very brilliant.
Yes, they were long.
You were smart, just long.
You guys are brilliant.
30 seconds or less.
We would love
play
that.
It.
408-800.
You see what a time.
Tom, there's a word for that. 408-800-KNOW. That's 408-800-KNOW. If you want to leave us a voicemail. Or if you did something on your own and you made a video, upload it to YouTube.
That'd be
send
fun.
Us, send
We'd
us a
love
link.
To see that.
We'd love to see what you guys are doing with this, this information. Because
by the way, one other thing I want to point out. We talk all the time on Security Now about WPS and how insecure it is. It actually will let somebody get into a WPA2 password, a strong password.
Correct.
The good news is there's no WPS on any of these.
That's correct. They haven't implemented that in DDWRT. They may, somebody may be working on a secure version.
Right.
But exactly. Yeah. So you can trust those guys to do it right.
I love it. That's really important. This is yet another reason why you want to put this on.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I wouldn't even buy a router unless it's on the list.
Yeah, that's something to do. Because I was testing out with other products earlier. I'm like, this D-Link is not going to work. So now I can't do anything with that.
Right.
And if you want to have that ability, look it up first. I mean, that wiki's great. And their database searches are way better than they used to be. It used to be almost impossible
to
find
stuff.
It's
very easy to find it now.
Can I ask one more question? Will this improve performance?
It's possible. It's possible that the radio firmware that's actually in the DDWRT bundle is a little better than what the manufacturer provides.
It won't be any worse.
Well, no, it could be worse.
I mean,
this is the issue.
Oh, yeah.
So if you bought a brand new router and it's supported by DDWRT, I'd suggest letting it run for a week or two and just make sure that you know it's stable in your environment and that you don't have any issues with it so that you're not flashing DDWRT.
The original router.
Right, you want to make sure your original router is
because you can't return this once you've done this.
You actually can return some of them. This unit, you can return to the stock firmware. So if you don't like it,
so you can put it back.
How do you do that?
Pretty much the same way. You got to go to the Linksys site, find out what your firmware is.
So there is a way to get the original firmware and
right.
reflash
on most units, you can go back.
Most of them.
Know.
I happen to have one that you can't. I have notes. This
are
is
these
the,
bricks?
No, this is not a brick. This one just is a one way. You want to double check. Some of them have written in bold on the instructions. Once you go DDWRT on this one, you can't go back.
I think Colleen put tomato on one of these.
Yeah, tomato was on this one on toothpicks there.
Yeah, so that's why you want to read it carefully, because if you're using the USB port feature to share a hard drive,
that could be turned off.
And you update and you lose that, you may not be able to get it back.
We've got to save this. This is the old toothpick.
These are classic
router. We should save
things
this.
From the cottage.
And finally, is there a difference between DDWRT and tomato? Should we prefer one over the other?
I personally prefer DDWRT, but,
they're fanboys the other way, too.
There's fanboys the other way, too, exactly. Okay.
And they're both up to date.
Some of them may have different router support. So if you check DDWRT, don't assume that that's the only one that you can get on your router.
Got it. Wow, this was good. I'm sorry we went over, but you know what? It was great stuff. Really useful stuff.
Oh, you owe it to me, Laporte.
I owe you 5 minutes.
5 minutes.
5 minutes you're never going to get back.
I know. Not much older. This is thanks, Leo.
And thanks to Russell Tammany from Exponentia.net.
Sure
you're the greatest. I'm telling you, he's the best IT guy I've ever seen. And I've seen a lot of them. And he is our contract guy and just makes such
a before we go, next week.
What's next week?
Next week, you guys are going to know how to build a media server. We've gotten so many emails about this.
We're going to use Plex.
How are we going to get our content around our house? We're going to use Plex. How are we going to have a front end? How am I going to watch my stuff around my house? You'll find out next week.
You can't do that in half an hour.
I'll try. I will try.
Thanks, everybody, for joining us. Remember, this show is available for download on all of the usual sites, including iTunes, the Zune, and, of course, twit.tv/KH. KH. That's our abbreviation, KH. And we always put it on YouTube, and that's really important. If a friend calls you or somebody wants to know how to do something, please don't hesitate to refer them to our YouTube video. We really want to make a database there over time of just really well-done how-to videos that help people get what they need to be. So there you go. That's how you create new firmware.
Now that you know how,
do it now! We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.